Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I would like us to go to the gospel reading, that incredible event, Jesus again with his disciples after he had risen from the dead, and within that 40-day period of time between the time Jesus rose victoriously from the grave and prior to that time he then ascended out of sight into heaven. But in that time, Jesus speaks these incredible words to the disciples then and to the church now. And we heard him in the Great Commission, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. You know, there's empowerment, isn't there, in authority. Years ago, my first call, little church in southern Minnesota, happened to have an elderly woman who really needed some of her family to be there with her. And so her daughter, Nelda Peterson, had retired from the Air Force and came to this little town to be with her mom and to care for her. Well, Nelda Peterson was a colonel in the Air Force, and she served on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So that's a pretty high position of authority. Well, as I got to know Nelda and we got to visiting, she shared with me, knew my passion for aviation, and said, "Pastor, you're traveling to California?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, what Air Force bases do you want to get on and what airplanes do you want to see?" I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And so I said, "Well, I've never been up close to a C-5A Galaxy, which at the time was the largest aircraft built in the world. And I think we have a picture of it this morning. But anyway, they're based out at Travis Air Force Base near Sacramento. And I said, "Well, I'd love to see the C-5. And she says, "Okay, what day are you can you be at the base and what time?" And I gave her the day and the time. And she says, "Well, you be there right at that time, and you share with them who you are, and they'll have everything taken care of." So drive up to the gate, of course, all the warning signs, can't go in, everything. Went up to the guard, shared with him that Colonel Nelda Peterson had made an appointment for me to see this aircraft. And he said, "Sir, that van right over there is for you. Go ahead and get in the van." And they drove me through the flight line at Travis, had one of these in the squat position with the cargo doors down, and two airmen standing at attention. Get out of the van, and they said, "Sir, you have an hour. You can crawl all over this airplane if you like. We'll tell you anything you want to know." And wow, I got up in the cockpit. I have a picture at home filed away somewhere, but there's a hatch in the cockpit and a ladder, and you can crawl up and actually look down the whole top of that aircraft. It's really cool. Now, you think I'd have a chance of getting in there if I just, you know, civilian driving up, say, "Hey, I'd like to see a C-5A Galaxy. What do you guys think?" Think I'd get into that base? No way. But Nelda Peterson had the authority. Now, that's just a colonel in the Air Force, and even a colonel serving on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But did you hear those words this morning from the Almighty God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, speaking from his human nature? Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then what does he say? To go. To go, therefore, and make disciples. You see, in and of ourselves, we are powerless to change the heart of anyone. But we go as Christians with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus emphasizes, it's all authority has been given to me. You know, there's not only a mystery in the Trinity, and I appreciate that illustration, Angela, with the tricycle. That's a very good one. I hadn't really thought of that one. But, you know, God is three distinct persons, and yet one God in essence. He's not three gods, nor is it like the Father is a third of God, the Son a third, the Holy Spirit a third. Each distinct person is fully God, and this gets very mysterious, doesn't it? As Angela shared with us, we can't even begin to fully understand how God reveals himself. But that's okay, because he's God and we're his creation, and that's natural that we would be in this position. But praise God that he reveals himself to us, that we may know him as he is, meaning triune. And in Scripture, generally, the Father has creation ascribed to him, Jesus' redemption with the cross, the Holy Spirit, sanctification, conversion, changing hearts, bringing us to faith. But each of those persons of the Trinity do not work alone. It's kind of like the tricycle. When it's moving, all of the tricycle is functioning together, and so it is with our gracious God who loves us dearly. And then we think about Jesus. There's mystery there too, because Jesus Christ is fully God and yet at the very same time fully man. He's the God-man, the only God-man that has ever existed and will exist. And when we see Jesus in heaven, we're seeing him in the flesh, because he did not leave his flesh behind when he ascended into heaven. He is always true man and true God. And so in Scripture, a lot of times we hear Jesus speaking from his divine nature, his almighty power, speaking as God. And then at other times we hear Jesus speaking from the human nature. And this morning it's from the human nature, that Jesus is announcing to his disciples, to the world, to you and me, that as true man, all authority has been given to him, which is really awesome when you think about that. And, you know, all authority is certainly, you know, there is no higher authority. Jesus is the authority. He is God and as we said, fully man. In Matthew 11, we hear the Lord say, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." So Jesus acknowledging as true man, "My Father has handed all things over to me." And in Colossians 2, Paul writes, "Jesus is the hand of all rule and authority." Jesus as true man is the hand of all rule and authority. And so there's no higher authority than Jesus Christ, and there are no boundaries to his authority. As Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then I love this passage, Ephesians 1. We talked about it if you were able to come this week for the smaller communion services, but where it's announced by God through Paul with regards to his Son, he put all things under his, meaning Jesus' feet, gave him as head over all things to or for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so very evident, and think how comforting that is, that Jesus has all authority. And how does he use this authority but for the benefit of his church, for you and me, his precious little lambs, his children? And so we are blessed to live in security, the security that we have the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ in our presence with us in all circumstances. And certainly through this whole COVID event, and the fears that have been generated out there, and some legit, maybe others not so much, but it doesn't matter. Whatever the circumstance may be, this authority does not change, nor the way that God chooses to use his authority to bless you and me. And so given to and for the church, and we then are blessed and empowered. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me, just like Nelda Peterson. You know, I have the authority to do this. Just go to the guard gate, tell them who you are, and they'll let you in. Jesus, much higher level, I have all authority. And Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Wow, what a commission. Well, the question this morning is, how do we relate to that authority? How, first of all, do you believe it? And I ask myself the same thing. Do you believe the presence of the Lord with you? Do you believe the authority and power that you have in your presence when you are called upon to share the gospel? I think sometimes we kind of cower a little bit out of fear, don't we? Or I think, well, gee, I can't change the life of anyone. And you see, when we go into that mode, we're thinking about ourselves then and our own personal power and strength. And that can really hinder us from doing the work God has called us to do. Jesus says, I'm here, I'm readily available, I'm giving you my authority, and yet how often do we push it away? In the sense that maybe we remain silent. We're thinking, well, whatever I say is not going to change anything, and I'm just going to be attacked for it anyway. Well, that's when we're not really hanging on to the authority of our Lord at hand. And, I think of, remember Ahaz? You can read about him in Isaiah chapter 7. Ahaz, the king of Judah, nations to the north, including the northern kingdom. The kingdoms were divided at that time, Judah to the south, Israel to the north. And Israel was aligning with some other powerful nations, and they were going to do battle with Ahaz and Judah. And God sends Isaiah to Ahaz to comfort him and to give him a sign to let him know that his authority was there with him. And remember what Ahaz said? Oh, you know, it wouldn't be proper, you know, to ask for a sign from you, God. I'm just going to, you know, do what I'm planning on doing. And in essence, Ahaz said, God, I don't want your authority, nor do I need it, nor do I need your idea or plan. And so what's Ahaz do? He aligns with the Assyrians. And then, of course, a little later on, the Assyrians, you know, attack and conquer Judah. And it shows how things go when we're trusting in our own authority. And you know, as human beings, we don't handle authority very well anyway, do we? And I think in recent times, we've seen a lot of abuse of that authority at all levels in our nation. But how about us individually? You know, we're warned about it in Ephesians. You know, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. As a father, we have authority over our child, but how do we use that authority? Wow, it's a powerful thing. You know, there's a passage in Scripture, I think, that is very telling. In 1 Peter 5, you know, the Lord warns us pastors about abuse of that authority. And then in Matthew 20, 25 to 27, I think we have that for the screen for all of us. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. And then look what Jesus says. It shall not be so among you. This isn't the way God intends for human beings to use that authority. And you know, we're, you know, sinful human beings. We're always tempted to not submit to the authority of our Lord. And that's why many people reject God. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to have to submit to another authority. But think about how God uses his authority. He gave us his only begotten Son. And what did Jesus do with his authority when he came down upon this earth? Jesus being fully God in the flesh. In fact, that's important for us to know and to trust and to believe. You know, in John chapter 1 is one of those examples. And by the way, these references are all on your sermon outline that you probably have on your computer. And you can access that if you want to go back. But in John 1:3, John's gospel starts out speaking of the Word and that all things were created by him. Nothing that has been created has not been created by him. And so emphasizing that this Word, which is a reference to Jesus Christ, is truly, fully God. He is creator. And then we hear Thomas, doubting Thomas, at the other end of the Gospel of John, giving that great confession. Remember when he saw Jesus, he had doubted if Jesus really rose from the dead, and he says, "My Lord and my God." Now, Jesus standing there in human flesh, and Thomas acknowledges him to be the Almighty God. And so it's very evident in Scripture, Jesus refers to himself as God. In John chapter 8, I think we have that one for the screen, but there it is. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, and I am the holiest name God uses for himself." Jesus lays it out there. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. There's authority. Remember how Jesus just walked through the crowd and they couldn't touch him? And that's his authority as Almighty God at work. Well, Jesus is also fully man. And so God himself comes in the flesh. The Word became flesh, John tells us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as we follow the Gospels, as we follow Jesus' ministry, the Lord makes it very evident and clear of who he is, the mystery of the God-man. But think about the authority that Jesus has and that authority that he shares with you and me, the church. Now, we can't miss the cross when we come into the sanctuary, right? Think about that. Jesus could have easily avoided the cross. Even when he was arrested, remember the soldiers all fell down in the presence of Jesus, again revealing his great authority. Jesus hanging on the cross, "If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross, prove it to us." Think Jesus could have come down from the cross? He could have destroyed everybody on the spot. He could have instantly stepped out of all the agony and the pain that he was going through, but he didn't. Why? Because he uses his authority for salvation. He exerts his authority in love, and he does that so that we too may come to believe and trust in him. The one who is Almighty God submits himself to being crucified on a cross. Think about that. That God gives that example of the use of authority in that most incredible way. And yet, by that same authority, we know that Jesus rose from the dead. And we know that one day he's going to return in glory. Maybe soon, who knows? But we will see him with our own eyes. Him in the flesh, glorified. In fact, you know, in Philippians chapter 2, by the way, I should just briefly state, you know, Jesus in his state of humiliation, he always had all of his divine power at hand, but he refused to draw from that for the most part. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he was exalted, and he no longer hindered those divine powers from communicating with his human nature. It's how Jesus suddenly could appear in the locked room, right? They thought he was a ghost. He can do that as true God communicating to his human flesh. But in Philippians 2, we hear these beautiful words. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Wow. Think about that when Jesus then gives us his commission. And we look at those words again. "Go therefore, But before that, even all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then what are we to do with his authority given? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And the Lord even provides the tools that the Spirit works through, his means of grace, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And Jesus promised, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the authority that you and I are blessed to live in the presence of. Jesus is the authority that we can boldly and confidently step into our culture that pretty much wants nothing to do with God anymore, and to be able to share the reality of what Jesus has done. Teaching, simply sharing the Word of God. And what an honor that God chooses to include you and me, to be his ambassadors, to go forth with his authority, to provide those means of grace that alone, as the Spirit works through them, can change lives, and providing himself. Well, remember those disciples? They were in that upper room, locked away. They went after Jesus. They're going to come after us. They were terrified, getting nothing done. And then Pentecost comes, right? And then we see Peter and the others in Jerusalem boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ, boldly proclaiming harsh law, saying, you know, this one that you crucified, they're right in the face of the Jews, the one you crucified. And they had the courage and the boldness to preach like that. And then they shared the good news of the cross. And by the authority that they now understood and had in their presence, we see the conclusion of that Pentecost day in Acts 2:41. Here's what authority accomplishes. And I think, do we have that one for the screen? Yes, there it is. So those who received his word, go and baptize and teach. Those who received his word were baptized, and look at that. There were added that day about 3,000 souls. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the apostles are no different than you and me. We have the very same word, the Holy Scriptures, to share, and we have the very same Lord, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who grants and gives his authority to us. Do you think the city of Greeley, surrounding area, needs to hear about Jesus? We're honored to tell them. All authority, says Jesus, has been given to me. Therefore, go. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.